Okay, today's daf is cool in daf kaf. In Yud Tet Amud Bet, we ended yesterday with the last, from the four lines from the bottom, the B'nai Rabbi Chia. Okay, they said, Mitzvah Malika Machzir Simanim L'Acharei Ha'Oref U'Molek. And then we had a debate, was this Af Machzir? In other words, can you, is the Mitzvah of Malika to break the neck bone and then get to the Simanim? But if you move the Simanim all the way to the back and you didn't break the neck bone and you just did the Simanim, that would work? Or did he mean that the mitzvah specifically was to move the Simanim away from the backbone and do the Malika from there? So then they tried to prove, they said it must be that it's Af Machzir, because otherwise, when it said Ma'iria in the Mishnah, it says Hashochev mina oref shkitato psula, hamolek mina oref malikato kshera. Right? So if you shecht from the oref, the shechita is going to be pasul, but if you do malika, it's kshera. And if you think, isal kadatach, we're now at the very top of kaf, isal kadatach machzir dafka, my iria malek, afilu shochet nami. In other words, why would you say only malika is mina oref malika tok shera, when really you could be shochet mina oref also? Right, in shechita, you can also move in, with the point is, the under, what's lying under this is that the, in shechita, even though you really can't do it from the back, it's because you're going to break the backbone first, and then that's no good in shechita, but if you move the simanim out of the way, you actually could. So in which case, this is no longer a difference between shechita and malika, if that's the way you're supposed to do malika. And therefore, it must be alala shmamina af machzir umanitin. And when our Mishnah was talking about that, you can't do shlita in that way. It was only talking about b'dilo ahadar, if you didn't move the simanim out of the way, which means the nosei of the Mishnah is the typical way, which is not putting, you know, moving all the simanim out from behind the neck bone. And therefore, that proves that it's af machzir. You can even do that, but that's not the typical way of doing it. So again, we started with B'nai Rabbi Chia saying Mitzvah Malika Machzir Simanim L'Achorei Ha'Oref. So now Rabbi Yana is going to go against Yikablu HaRovin Et Shuvatan. Okay, the Rovin means Ne'arim, according to most of the commentaries. It means these children, these B'nai Rabbi Chia, are going to get their Shuvah. Doesn't mean an answer here. It means Lahashiv, often means to knock out. Okay, I'm going to knock out their Shita, that you can even be Machzir. Dikatane, because it says in a braita, it says in our Mishnah, nimtza kasher b'shchita, pasul b'milika. Kasher b'milika, pasul b'shchita. If you remember, the Mishnah at the end said, whatever is kasher b'shchita is pasul b'milika. Remember the Mishnah? Okay, this was the obvious question, but we read the Mishnah. The Mishnah set up all the different things. This is true for shchita and not for milika. This is for milika and not for shchita. And then it said, this totally unnecessary statement, which every time we have it, we darshan this type of thing, which is, well, kol ha-kasher l'shchita, kasher l'milika, is pasul l'milika. And kol ha-kasher b'milika is pasul b'shchita, which we already knew. So what's the point of repeating, right? Now, you could say the Mishnah is just giving you a general rule. But the fact that they said this must be coming l'mi'ute mai. What's it coming to distinguish between them? They must be coming to add some other case. My love l'mi'ute machzir simanim l'achorei ha'oref delo. Is it not coming to tell you that even though in shechita you can be machzir simanim l'achorei ha'oref, in malika you can't, which would mean basically malika, you have to break the neck bone first, and then you get to the simanim. Okay, whereas that's other than shechita, where shechita, if you can, right, shechita normally you get to the simanim first because you come from the front. But if you were to move the simanim out of the area in the back, then you could actually shecht it without getting to the neck bone. If you could do it without getting to the neck bone, you could do it. So isn't that the case that this is coming to exclude? And therefore, you're obviously wrong, B'nai Rabbi Chia. Okay, it can't be that one is allowed to do this with malika, because it must be when the Mishnah sets up whatever's kasher for shechita is pasul b'malika, it must be adding this case, because what other case could it be adding? So now, of course, to answer this, they're going to say, no, that line of whatever is good for shechita is no good for malika must be coming to teach us something else. So they're going to suggest a few things. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, lo L'me'ute shein v'tziporen. It must be coming to say that a shein v'tziporen you can use for malika, but you can't use it for shechita. And that's what that line is coming to tell you. So then they say, wait a minute, it can't be coming to tell you that, because shein v'tziporen behedya katani. Like, it already says, remember what a shein is. A shein is a tooth of an animal, right, when it's still in the animal's mouth. So you could use that for malika, and you could use your fingernail. That's specifically what you do use. But you can't say that that extra line in the Mishnah is coming to teach that case, because the Mishnah already said it explicitly. Okay, if you look in the Mishnah, right, it said, Shchit minat tzadim, or malit minat tzadim. Actually, it doesn't say it in the Mishnah explicitly. Where does it say it? It says it somewhere. Maybe in the next Mishnah? It says it in a different Mishnah about the Shein v'Tziporen. Okay, it says it explicitly. I think we saw it. Okay, fine. I knew we learned it. Okay, so thank you. In Tep Vav Amud Bet, it says, Bakol Shochatin, right? Chutz mi Magala Katsir Vashinayim Vatziporen. It says that you can't use them for Shechita. So there it says it explicitly, so you wouldn't need this line to tell you that. Okay, so therefore, that's not a good answer. So now, Ela Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Lemi Ute Molich Umevi. How do you do Shechita? Again, you go back and forth, a back and forth motion. How do you do Malika? You take your fingernail, the Kohen takes his fingernail, and he sticks it into the backbone of the neck bone of the bird, and then he, using his fingernail, he pushes through and he tears the simanim, right, the windpipe and the gullet. So now, if that's the case, so comes Rabbi Yirmiya and he says, what does this mean? Kasher b'shchita pasul b'melika, kasher b'melika pasul b'shchita. It's to teach you that molich u'mevi is kasher b'shchita, but you can't use molich u'mevi for malika. So, ha'anicha l'manda amar molich u'mevi b'melika pasul. This would only work if you actually hold, you know, while it's true that one takes his fingernail and pushes it through and breaks the simanim like that, maybe, in theory, there's a machloket, could you do it in a back and forth motion, Malika, with the fingernail? Okay? Could it be done in a back and forth motion? There's a machloket about it. So if you hold that you can't do Malika in a back and forth motion, then you could say very simply that that's what this mission is teaching you. This mission is teaching you that Molich u'mevi, which is good for Shechita, is no good for Malika. And that's why we have that extra line in the Mishnah. And therefore, again, that supports the B'nai Rabbi Chiya, who can say, af machzir, that wouldn't be a difference between them, and that's not what the Mishnah is coming to teach you. But, lamanda amar, ela lamanda amar, kasher ma'ika lameimar. But if you hold the Molich u'mevi b'malika is kasher, then again, we're left with, what does this line teach you? It must be teaching you that if you're machzir the simanim, for shechita it works, but not for malika. And that would go against the B'nai Rabbi Chiya. So again, we're left with a question, but we can simply say, B'nai Rabbi Chiya savri la kemanda amar molichu mevi b'malika pasul. They hold like that side of the machloket. Okay, so again, if you hold that molich u'mevi is pasul by malika, then you're going to say, Kasher l'shchita pasul b'melika is coming to teach you that case, right? If molichu mevi is pasul, so then you say, what's kasher l'shchita, which is molichu mevi, is pasul b'melika, and that's what that line teaches you. But if you say the molichu mevi is kasher, okay, which means you can't use that line to teach you that because it's kasher b'shchita and it's kasher b'melika, can't be teaching you that, then it must be coming to teach you the line, kasher l'shchita pasul b'melika, is coming to teach you about the machzir, okay? That you can't be machzir by the oaf, okay? By melikata oaf, which means that if you can't be machzir, then B'nai Rabbi Chiya are wrong. So there's two ways to read Rabbi Chiya. One is the way that Rabbi Yanai says, right? There's two ways to read that line. The Mishnah Rabbi Yanai says it must be coming to say that you can't be machzir ba'oaf goes against the B'nai Rabbi Chiya. And then Rabbi Chiya support their statement, or Rabbi Yirmiya actually supports their statement by saying, no, that line is coming to exclude molich u'mevi. Okay? And therefore, and because molich u'mevi is pasul by malika. Okay. Amar Rav Kahana. Mitzvah malika. Now we're going to talk about what the mitzvah of malika is. Kotzetz v'yored. Okay? So, a little bit more to be said than just these two words, but basically you knock out the, you break the bone, right? And then you go down into the into the trachea and esophagus, and you break them. Is it called esophagus by an animal? Because they seem to keep calling it the gullet. They call it the gut.
So it's esophagus.
Esophagus by you? Okay. So I kept seeing in the cur and the gullet.
I think one's more technical and one's less, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the anatomy and what they call them. Okay. So now, if you remember, by the way, we're going to get to this later, by a bird, you only need to knock out one siman to have it be a kosher shechita. Okay, as opposed to in an animal, shechita, you need two simanim, you need the majority of two simanim. By a bird, you only need one siman. And there's one exception to the rule, by the olat ha'of, if you remember, we learned this a long time ago, there's a special mitzvah of havdalah, which you have to separate the head from the body. This is one of the differences in the chatat ha'of and the olat ha'of, okay, the bird that's brought as a, right, the chatat as a sin offering, or one that's brought as a burnt offering, you sever the head. So since you have to sever the head, that's the only time where you actually need to cut both simanim, because you can't sever the head if you don't cut both simanim. Okay, we're going to get to that later today. So he says that's the mitzvah of Malika, Zohi mitzvata. Sever Rabbi Abin lememar, kotzeitz v'yored in, molichu mevi lo. So when Rabbi Avin heard what he said, he assumed that what he meant was when Rav Kahana said, kotzeitz v'yored, right, you tear through and then you go down, it sounds like only in this way, but molichu mevi, a back and forth motion, wouldn't work. Amar le Rabbi Yirmiya, koshaken de molichu mevi b'malika kasher. All the more so. Now, okay, for sure that would work. Now, if that's the case, why did he say, kotzeitz v'yored zohi mitzvata? So, my zohi mitzvata, ema af zohi mitzvata. In other words, the assumption here, and this, there's a bit of a constant struggle here between assuming the shechita and malika must be similar. Okay, I just want to review for one basic minute. What's the difference between shechita and malika? Shechita is the way we shecht animals and birds outside the mikdash, and malika is the way we do the shechita of birds in the mikdash. One cannot shecht a bird in the mikdash. You have to do malika, and one can't do malika outside the mikdash. Okay, it's something that's reserved specifically for the mikdash. And the question is, right, so our mishnah set it up, what's kasher for one is pasul for the other. However, there's obviously some crossover, so the question is, where's the crossover and where are the differences? So that's what they're struggling with. So he says, if he says, zohi mitzvata kotzeitz v'yored, it must be kotzeitz v'yored in and nothing else, meaning it's not molichu mevi, it's a totally different motion. According to the other opinion, no, zohi mitzvata means it can also be done this way, but one can also do it in a back and forth motion. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Shmua. Kol ha-kasher b'shchita kinegdo ba'oref kasher b'melika. Okay, remember, shchita is done from the front, melika is done from the back. So anything that's kasher b'shchita, okay, anything that where the area, you can do that, you know, you can do that in shchita. Kinegdo in the oref is kasher for melika. Okay, so you can do the same thing on the other side for melika. Now, what can one infer from this statement? And this is going to raise a whole series of questions. If you say what's kasher b'shchita, then kenegdo ba'oref in the back, the same thing as we kasher b'melika, then kol ha'pasul b'shchita, pasul b'melika. Okay, this is the Gemara's classic. We have a statement, we can assume that the inverse is true, right? Whatever, if this says it's kasher in this, it'll be kasher in there, well then it's pasul b'shchita, it's going to be pasul b'melika. So the inverse or the converse? I don't remember all the terminology, but it's the exact opposite, okay? So now, limi ute mai. So this, now, he didn't say this line, but what's inferred is this line, and now we have to say, well, what's inferred from what he said, what is he coming to add, okay? What case is this coming to teach? So again, the inference is, what's pasul in shchita is going to be pasul in milika, and the question is, what case is this coming to include? If you want to say what makes a shlita pasul, one of the things that makes a shlita pasul is if you tear out the simanim before you shech them. Okay, if you tear them, then that's no good. That's why we have the whole thing with the knife, right? So you can't just rip them out. Okay, so now if you want to say ikor simanim, that since ikur simanim is pasul b'shchita, if you did the same thing, you were doing malika of the bird, but you tore out the simanim, well, hatani rami bar yecheskel, ein ikur simanim ba'of. there is, now what does it mean, ein ikur simanim? It doesn't mean you can't. It means there's no problem of ikur simanim ba'of. Meaning, if you have this bird and you tear out the simanim, that's fine. So therefore, you can't say that the line, pasul b'shchita, pasul b'milika, is coming to talk about ikur simanim. Because Rami Bar Yecheskel already says, there's no problem of ikur simanim ba'of. So it can't be that. So Amar Papa lemi'ute rosho. It's to exclude the head, right? Can you shecht in the head of the animal? We had that whole thing yesterday, right? How high up could shechita be, right? Could it be, remember, there was the kaneh, then there was the tabat above it, then there was the kova, and we said it was only, right, this area that kind of leads up toward the head, but for sure the head of the animal can't be shechted. It has to be below the head, right, by the neck. So therefore, maybe it's coming to say that same thing with the bird. That's what Rav Papa is saying. It's lemi'utei rosho. In other words, whatever is pasul b'shchita, whichever area is pasul, that area is also going to be pasul in the back of the neck for the bird. So the Gemara is going to say, rosho pshita. We already know that you can't shech the head of the bird. How do we know? Because it says mimul or po. Remember, we had the whole explanation yesterday. What does mimul or po mean? Mimul or po, Amar Rahmana, the Torah said, velo birosho. Mimul or po means it can be seen by the back of the neck, meaning it's below the back of the neck. So obviously the head is out. So we certainly don't need this line. Okay, again, we don't need this inference from what Rabbi Yirmiyah said in the name of Shmuel. Remember, he said, "Kol kasher b'shchita kenegdo baruch kasher b'milika." So now they want to say, "What's pasul b'shchita? Is pasul b'milika?" Meaning the head, right? The head is pasul for shchita, the top part. So also in the back, it's going to be pasul for milika. We already know that. Can't possibly be that. So now we're left with understanding when Rav Papa said, "It's lemi'ute rosho." What does he mean, lemi'ute rosho? My rosho, shipoi rosho. Kegon dinakabi shipoi rosho vihigrim. Ma'azal adamate tatai. Ukid Rav Huna amarav asi. To amarav Huna amarav asi. Higrim shlish. Vishachat shne shlish psula. What does it mean to tell you? It goes back to what we learned yesterday. That if you start in the head and you go down. So let's say you start your malika higher up. And the first third of the tear you do from above. You come in from the top. And then you get the second two-thirds. You get to the right place where the kaneh and the veshed are, and you knock out at least one of the simanim. So that's higrim shlish v'shachat shnei shlish. It's psula. That's what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav Asi. And what we're suggesting here is when Rav Papa said lemi'ute rosho, what he means is just like when you sheft, again, you have to go according to this opinion because there was a whole debate about this, but just like when you sheft, according to Rav Huna in the name of Rav Asi, if you started high up and went lower down and you did a third in the wrong area, that's called hagrama, which is a psul, because you started in the wrong area. Likewise, in the bird, the same thing will be true. And that's what the line means. So now we understand the inference, pasul b'shchita, pasul b'milika, means the case of higrim the first shlish, and then the second two shlish you didn't higrim. Okay, you did in the right place. That would be pasul. Now we're going to go back. This whole thing we started with, or while we were in this, we brought up this ikor simanim. We said maybe it means ikor simanim, that you can't uproot the simanim. And then we said that that can't possibly be, because Rami Bar Yecheskel said any ikor simanim both. So now we're going to talk about that. Amar le Rav Acha berei de Rava le Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha, the son of Rava, says to Rav Ashi, ha detane Rami Bar Yecheskel ein ikor simanim ba'of, lo amaran ela lamanda amar ein shchita la'of min haTorah. So he says that when Rami Bar Yecheskel said ein ikor simanim ba'of, okay, let's even go backwards. There's a basic machloket: is shchita by of a Torah obligation or not a Torah obligation? Now, he never really says it explicitly in the Torah, okay? So Rashi says here, Elami divrei sofrim, Rabbi Elazar amara b'perach ha-shochet. Okay, we'll get to this on Daf Kavchet. Okay, there's a machloket. Do you have to shecht a bird? Is it d'oraita or is it only d'rabbanan? Now, even if you say it's d'oraita, we're going to see Rashi says it's not actually d'oraita because it never says so in the Torah. Okay, Rashi is going to say, okay, let's look for one more minute and then I'll go back. Okay, so let's just, again, I want to deal first with the basic shito. Is there shchita from the Torah or not? And then how that connects to ikor simanim by of. So Rashi says here, Lamanda amar yesh shchita le'of min haTorah, mitorah shenimsera le'moshe al peh, dahainu halacha le'moshe misinai. He says when they say min haTorah here, they don't actually mean min haTorah. They mean Halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, which we've always said is something that goes in between Derabanan and Doraita. It's like a very strong Derabanan. It has a Masoret, go dating back to Moshe. Again, whether it really dates back to Moshe or not is debatable, but it's a way of saying this is a really old Masoret. There's something very basic. And here it says, V'Rebi Amarad Palagad Rabbi Elazar. So it's a machloket Rebbe and Rabbi Elazar. We'll see on Daf Kavchet. Maybe we'll go into it more. But here we'll just read. Oh, it's Shabbat Daf. Okay. Is that true? No. What? Kavchet won't be on Shabbat. Right? I don't think so. No. Okay. Anyway, we're on Kaf now. So a week and a day. So, Detanya Rebbe Omer, V'Zavachta Ka'asher Tzivita. Okay? Because it says Vizabachta Kashir Tziviticha, you should shecht it like I command you. So what do we say? Moshe must have been commanded how to shecht and how to write that Shechita is true by birds also. Okay? Okay, so fine. So that's the basic machloket. So how does this connect with any Ikur Simanim? So what's the first assumption? There's no issue of Ikur Simanim, we're going to say, if you say it's a halacha midrabanan, right? It's not midoraita, so then we can be more mekel, basically. That makes more sense, right? It makes a lot of sense to say. But if you say that you don't really have to do shechita min haTorah, it's only midrabanan, so we're not going to be makpid if you do Ikur Simanim. That's the first thing the Gemara says. So let's just read it again. So Rav Acha Berei de Rava says to Rav Ashi, Had itani Rambam b'Yecheskel ein Ikur Simanim ba'och lo amaran ela leman damar ein shechita lof min haTorah. He only said his statement according to Rabbi Elazar, who holds there's no shechita for of min haTorah. It's only the rabbis instituted shechita by birds. Again, you have to remember, of course, there's malika by birds. That's right. We keep getting back to this malika. Malika talks about in the Torah. You have to be molek mula orev in the mikdash. But if you want to eat a bird outside the mikdash, according to the Torah law, it never says you have to shecht a bird. It talks about shechting meat. So the question is, when it says v'zavachta kashir tzivticha, does that mean also birds, meaning it's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai and there's a reference to it in the Torah? Or does that not talking about birds, that's just talking about meat, and kashir tzivticha is just, you know, like I commanded you right now, and not it's not alluding to something that's not mentioned in the text. And therefore, it's only right. And therefore, it's only midrabanan. So, if you say it's midrabanan, you can say any ikur simanim. But lemanda amar yesh chita la'of min haTorah yesh ikur. So now we're going to say the statement of Rami Bar Yecheskel would only be if you held. So it would be very simple then. If you hear the statement of Rami Bar Yecheskel and your shita is that yesh chita la'of min haTorah, then you would disagree with. You would say, well, obviously Rami Bar Yecheskel doesn't hold like me. I don't hold like him, and you can ignore it basically because you would say there must be ikur simanim, meaning you have to, you know, if you were to knock out the simanim, uproot them, kind of take them out, it would be pasul. So now he says, Amar Leh, this is what Rav Acha Berei de Rava said to Rav Ashi. Comes Rav Ashi and he says back to him, you got it all wrong. Adarabba, ifcha mistabra, dafka, the opposite would make more sense. Okay, and here comes, right, that logic would seem the most obvious. Because Torah, we're going to be more machmir. Rabbana, we're going to be more makeup. But he has a good logic. He says, lemanda amar yesh chita la'of min haTorah, ika lameimar dahach mi'agmara, agmarei, de'ein ikor. Afil lemanda amar kebehema, Linyan ikur lo habe kebehema. He says, if you say yesh l'shchita l'of min haTorah, then you say kasher tzivticha means the way God commanded. And if you hold any ikur simanim ba'of, you say, well, that's the way God commanded it. That's the more obvious way of saying there'd be a difference between shchita v'of and shchita v'behema is only if it was Torah instituted, because when it's Torah instituted, you could say, well, God taught it in a different manner. He said, this is the way you do oath, this is the way you do behema. Okay, so what's true for behema that's going to be a psul is not necessarily going to be a psul for birds. But ela laman damar ein shchita la'of min haTorah ela midivrei sofrim. Then what does that mean? Where did they learn all the halachot of shchita? If the rabbis came and instituted there's going to be shchita by birds also, then what are you going to assume? They don't have the authority to come and say, well, we'll make it the same, but not in every way. Then you would have to say, mehecha gemira le mi behema. Where did they learn all the laws of shchita by oath? They learned it now from behema. So therefore, kula milta ke behema. So they must learn it like a behema across the board. This is very interesting because it's showing the rabbis don't have enough as much flexibility as God does, right? If God's going to teach us this, he can decide whatever he, you know, whatever God wants, okay. You know, either yes, no, we can make all the laws as much, as different as we want. If the rabbis are going to say we're going to learn Shlita, oh, from Shlita Behema, they can't start distinguishing, well, you know, not by Yikur Simanim, but yes, by other things. So it's going to be more complicated. So that's the opposite logic.
If they're coming up with something, why don't they come up with what the Torah says, which is Malika? It's like interesting that they went in a direction of Shlita for birds.
Right, you're saying why Malika, where did they get the Malika can't possibly be done outside the Mikdash? Right, that's a good question, right? Where did that come from, that Malika, there must be some way they learn it. It's a good question. We have to look that up, write it down, remind me. You know, where did they get that? It's such an obvious thing, but where does it come from? Okay, it's a good question. It must come from somewhere. There must be some way that they, it's very clear to them that Malika is only done in the Mikdash. So we'll have to see why. It's a good question. Maybe it'll come up. If not, I'll look it up. Okay. Amar Ravina, Amar li Ravin Bar Kisi. So now Ravina comes along and says, the Ravin Bar Kisi told me, Ha detani Rami Bar Yechezkel, ein ikor simanim ba'of, lo amaran, ela b'malika, aval b'shchita yesh ikor. Now, he says something else. Right, until now, we're assuming any kor simanim ba'of is by shchita. And we were just talking about, is shchita mela'of min ha-Torah, is it not? He says that I learned, that Rabin Bar Kisi told me, that when he said any kor simanim ba'of, he was talking about when you do malika. But when you do shchita ba'of, outside the mikdash, then there is going to be a problem of ikor simanim. So now they say, Vaha Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, but didn't Rabbi Yirmiya say, in the name Amar Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, I saw this before, Kol HaKasher B'Shchita, Kinegdo B'Oref Kasher B'Milika, right? Anything that works for Shchita, when it comes to the Oref, it's going to be Kasher B'Milika. Ha Pasul Pasul, and what do we infer from that, right? This is where we started earlier today. Anything that's Pasul B'Shchita, Kinegdo is going to be Pasul B'Milika. So what does that sound like? Right? It sounds like if Ikur Simanim is Pasul B'Shchita, then Ikur Simanim is going to be Pasul B'Malika. You follow? Okay? And therefore, what do they say? Hahu Pliga. This disagrees, this statement of Shmuel disagrees with what Rami Bar Yechezkel brought. In other words, Rami Bar, according to Rabin Bar Kisi, Rami Bar Yechezkel, when he said in Ikur Simanim Ba'ov, he's only talking about Malika. Shmuel obviously disagreed with that, okay? Because Shmuel seems to be obvious from Shmuel's statement, or the inference from Shmuel's statement, that whatever would be puzzled by Shlita, which would be Kor Simanim, would also be puzzled by Malika, in which case Rami Bar Yechezkel's statement, either he disagrees with Rami Bar Yechezkel in general, or he would disagree with Rabin Bar Kisi that any Kor Simanim by Malika isn't true. In other words, there is a Kor Simanim by Malika, there just isn't a Kor Simanim by Shlita. Amar Ze'eri. Now we're going to deal until the end of the Daf Ze'eri statement. Nishbirat mafreket v'rov basar ima nevela. If you break, now the assumption is he's talking about in a bird or in an animal, any kind of case where you break the neck bone and most of the flesh that's right near there, nevela. That's a nevela. Okay? If you were to break the neck bone and most of the basar, that's a nevela. Okay, that turns the animal. That means that you can't do shchita after that happens, basically, or malika, or anything, right? Once you break that bone, and rova basarima, it's a nevela. So we're going to have a lot of problems with the state. Amar Rav Chisda. Af ana nami tanina. First of all, the first type of question is, af ana nami tanina means, we already learned this in a braita, meaning, who are you, Ze'eri, to come along and say this? We already have this in a braita. It makes no sense that you're making this statement, because Amoraim don't just make statements of things that are said explicitly in Braitas.
Okay.
Oh, in a Mishnah. Okay, fine. Atani Idik Source, you're right, it's a Mishnah. So we already learned this in Atani Idik Source, which happens to be a Mishnah. Malak bisakin mitameh begadim abe tablia. If you do malika with a knife, remember, malika has to be done with your fingernail. If you do malika with a knife, okay, meaning you cut through the neck bone and then you get to the simanim, you cut the simanim. What does it mean, this phrase, mitame begadim abet habliya? Remember what that means? That's what we call nevela of tahor. Okay, the nevela, let's go back. A nevela of an animal is mitame. Remember, a dead animal that wasn't shechted properly carries tumah with it. It's not just that it's forbidden to be eaten. That's the difference between treifa and nevela. Treifa means an animal that was sick and was going to die within the next 12 months, had a certain type of sickness. That animal, if you shecht it, it's not kosher, but it isn't tameh. It doesn't contract tumah. However, if you have an animal that died on its own or was shechted improperly or something like that, that's called a nevela and it has tumah. Now, nevela of tahor, nevela of a kosher bird, has a specific type of tumah that its tumah is unique, and it's called tumah bebeit habliya. It means while it's in your mouth and you're swallowing it, then it's metame the begadim you're wearing. You can be metame other things. Okay, so you can metame your begadim. That's what this line is. Metame begadim abeit habliya. Meaning, basically, in other words, it's metame. Okay, it's a nevela, which is metame. Okay, really what they want to tell us is a nevela. So if you did malika with a knife, it's a nevela. V'i amar treif yahavya, and if you want to say it's a treifa, malikata, zohi shchitata, okay? And if you want to say it's only a treifa, and malikata zohi shchitata, that's malika is its shechting, then tahane le sakin le taharam midein nevela. Now, if you take an animal that's a treifa and you shecht it properly, if you leave this animal that's a treifa to just die, it'll become a nevela. Okay? It becomes a nevela and it will be matame. So, to say a treifa is not matame, a treifa is only not matame if you shecht it properly. So in this case, if you took the knife and you shechted it, as opposed to doing malika with the fingernail, so shouldn't you say malikata zoi shchitata? The malika and shchita are kind of the same thing. In which case, the sakin, when you use the knife, shouldn't it have taken out of tumat nevela? And it should become what's the idea of saying it's a treifa? As soon as you break the mafreket and rov basarima, you've basically killed the animal, right? You made it sick. You've made it unhealthy. So then when you take the knife and you shecht it, if you view this as a treifa, it should basically be not tumat nevela. It should be viewed as a treifa. And the sakin should be metaharami de nevela. Okay, so now, just one second, according to this, right, so therefore, it's obvious from this Mishnah, since the Mishnah said, it's metame begadim abeit habliya, what does it show you? That once you break the neck bone, right, it's a nevela, which is exactly the same thing that Ze'iri was trying to say. Because if you would have viewed it as a treifa, then the knife would have protected it from the tumat nevela. And the fact that it doesn't shows exactly what Ze'iri was saying, in which case, Ze'iri, there was no need for you to say what you said. So what do we say? Amrei hatam mishum delav shchita hi klal. Okay, that's not shchita. Okay, if you took the sakin and you put it in the back of the neck of the bird and you shechted like that, that's not considered shchita. My time, why not? So two possible reasons. Rav Huna amar mipnei shehu machlid. Okay, what's machlid? Machlid is when you put the knife, you insert it inside in between the two simanim or behind the two simanim, and you kind of push outward. Instead of going in, you push outward. That's chalada. And Rava amar mipnei shehu dores. Dores is when the way you chop vegetables, you kind of push the knife in, right? Instead of doing this back and forth motion, you shove the knife in. So what they're saying is each one has a different opinion about what's happening, but when you put the sakin in the back of the neck of the bird, you're supposed to do malika, and instead you take the sakin and you do that, that's a problem. That turns it into a nevela, not because, and you can't say, oh, you did a proper shchita, and you therefore fixed this treifa animal after you broke the neck bone. It's a treifa. You now shecht it properly, it should be okay, and therefore take it out of nevela, and therefore it already says that in the Mishnah. Oh, no. When the Mishnah talked about sakin, it's not talking about where you did a proper shchita. That's not a proper shchita. When you took the knife in the back and you went inside, that's either attacking the simanim from the back, which is a problem, or it's pushing the knife inward as opposed to in this back and forth motion. And that's why the shchita doesn't save it from being a treifa, because it's not actually a proper shchita. And therefore, that Mishnah has nothing to do with what Ze'iri said. Okay, wouldn't prove anything about if nishbarama freket, ferov basarima, that would be an avela. Okay, so now, before we go on, we have to figure out why they disagree about whether it's machlid or whether it's dores. Manda amar mipneshu machlid, my time alo amar mipneshu dores. Okay, the one who said the issue is chalada, of kind of putting it in between the two simanim or behind the two simanim and shoving, you know, pushing it outward, forward. Why didn't he say the concern is dores? Kasavar molicho mevi b'malika kasher. He holds the molicho mevi b'malika is kasher, and therefore, what we were talking about here, when he took the sakin, it could be he did it in a molicho mevi motion. Okay, and then you have to assume there's only one problem here and not two. So if you hold molicho mevi is okay, then you hold that he could have been doing it in a molicho mevi motion. He just did it with a knife rather than with his fingernail, and that was the problem. And therefore, the issue is not dores, the issue is machlid, because we can neutralize the dores issue, because we could claim he did it molicho mevi. Uman damar mipneshu dores, my time alo amar mipneshu machlid. Amar lacha chalada hechidami. He says, how does chalada work, and why would this not be chalada? Chalada is kechulda, okay, they darshan the shoresh here. A chulda is a mole or a weasel. It's like a weasel. What, or a rat or something like that. Kichuda hadara biikare batim de mechasya. Hacha hamigalia. Chalada is called chalada, and this comes up in other places, because it's like a weasel that kind of, or a rat that hides in the house, right? You can't see it usually. And what does it mean? It means you put the knife inside in a way that you couldn't see the knife. In this case, that's not what he's doing. He puts the knife in the back, he breaks the neck bone, and then he goes in, but the knife is still outside. When we talk about chalada, generally we're talking about you put it inside the animal and it's covered by the skin of the animal and you can't see the knife at all. So chalada would only be in a case where you can't see the knife, according to one opinion. And therefore, he held that's not the concern here, because you can still see the knife. The concern is the dores and not machlid. Okay. So that was the first question on Ze'eri. So again, Ze'eri said, Nishbarama freke berov basarima nevela. Rav Chisda said, can't we learn that from the Mishnah about malach b'sakin? And then they said, no, that's a separate issue. That's because we're worried about chalada or dores. It's not because, that's not a proper shechita. If it were a proper shechita, it would be able to take it out of nevela, and then, you know, and that, therefore, we don't learn Ze'eri's statement from there. In other words, Ze'eri's statement is necessary in light of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is talking about something else. But I'm a Rava, ikashili hakashili. But if you're going to ask a question, I got a better question on Ze'eri. Bechi meta omed umolek. If you're going to say that breaking the mafrek and a rov basarima turns the animal into an avela, what are you basically saying? That's what kills the animal. Well, if malika is done by breaking the neck bone and rov basarima and then going inside and tearing the simanim, you're tearing the simanim of a dead animal. That can't be malika. Malika has to be that you caused the death of the animal by the tearing of the simanim has to be the way you've killed the animal. So therefore, v'chimeta omeru molek, it can't possibly be. So now, before we get to an answer, Abai is going to say, wait a minute. Abai is going to knock out Rava. There's going to be a whole long back and forth with about Rava's question. Amar le Abaye, b'tik she'lach olata of, debaya shnei simanim, v'chimeta omeru molek. He says, according to you then, take olata of. Olata of, I already mentioned earlier, I prepped you for this. You have to sever the head. So you have to break, you have to cut both simanim. Now, presumably you're going to do one and then the next, right? Makes sense. You're going in, right? You go in order. So if you're going to do malika of olata of and you break the first siman, now the assumption is you've already taken the life out of the animal. So when you break the second one, which is part of the shechita process or malika process, you're now doing malika on a dead animal. So Abai is saying if your whole problem is that after you break the neck bone, you're already doing malika when you tear the siman on a dead animal, well, according to you, your question should be even on a lot of, how can you tear the second siman as part of the malika process when the animal's already dead? So what does he answer him? Hamar lehatam, and I already told you this, kedei lekayem b'mitzvat abdalah. The reason you tear the second siman is not to actually kill the animal. You've already killed the animal. The reason to do the second siman is to fulfill the mitzvah of havdalah, of separating the head, of severing it. You have to sever the head, so therefore you have to tear the second siman. But we don't care if the animal's dead, because that's a separate halacha. It's not part of the malika halacha. So then comes Abai, and he says, ihachi ornami. Well, according to them, if it's all about this mitzvah of severing the head, well, then part of the mitzvah of severing the head should be also not just cutting the siman, but tearing the skin. Because if you have to sever the head and the skin is still attached, well, then the head's not severed. And we know that you don't have to. Now, you're supposed to, but if you didn't sever the skin, it's not a problem. So here he says, well, then, if your whole thing is it's about Havdalah, severing the head, then you should have to do the Ornami. So what does he answer? Kol ma'akev b'shchita ma'akev b'havdalah. V'kol she'eino ma'akev b'shchita eino ma'akev b'havdalah. So he says to him, no, because since or is not part of the shchita, anything that prevents you from finishing the shchita is going to prevent you from finishing Havdalah. Meaning, in shchita you have to tear both simanim, in Havdalah you have to tear both simanim. And anything that's not ma'akev b'shchita, like nobody says you have to tear the skin in shchita, so therefore it's not ma'akev b'havdalah. So comes Abai and he says, wait a minute. You think nothing that's ma'akev b'shchita is going to be ma'akev, and anything that's not ma'akev b'shchita is not ma'akev b'havdalah? I can show you something that is. Ha mi'ut simanim l'rabanan delo ma'akve b'shchita u'ma'akve b'avdalah. But what does mi'ut simanim mean? What did we learn? In shchita, what do you need to do? Shech the majority of the siman. Okay? But if you didn't shech the whole siman, it's okay. So it's not ma'akev in shchita. But in havdalah, since you have to sever the head, you actually have to tear the entire siman. So he says, that whole statement you just said doesn't make any sense. So comes Rav and he answers, no, Ela Ema, what I meant to say was, kol sheyeshno b'shchita, yeshno b'havdalah. But kol she'eino b'shchita, eino b'havdalah. What does that mean? It means, instead of saying, whatever is true for one is true for the other, whatever elements are present in shchita, maybe not all the details to the last... to the last, you know, detail. Well, no, to the last bit of siman. In other words, when it comes to shchita, you have to tear the simanim. Now, it's true, I'm sorry, you have to shech the simanim. Well, it's true that you don't have to do the whole siman, you only have to do the majority, but that element is also ma'akev in havdalah in its own way. By havdalah, you actually have to cut them entirely. But any element that doesn't exist in shchita, like the hide, you don't have to tear through the skin. That's not an element at all in shchita. That's not going to be ma'akev b'havdalah. Okay, so even though in theory you're supposed to cut everything, but if you didn't, the skin is not part of it because it's not even an element that's considered in shchita. Okay, and that's how Rava answers Abai's question. So this was all to get to, does Rava actually have a legitimate question? Again, Ze'eri said, malak nishbara mafreket v'rov basari ma nevela. Rava said, if that's the case, then anytime you do Malika, you're basically going to be more like a dead bird, which makes no sense. And then Abai tried to say, well, then you'd have a problem with the Solat Ha'of. And Rava basically said, no, no, no. That's a din Havdalah. That has nothing to do with this. And therefore, don't bother me about the second Siman in the Olat Ha'of. That's a whole separate halacha. So anyway, the Gemara now says, we'll just finish the last line. Mikol makom kasha. So you know, you're not left with a big question before you go to bed tonight. Mikol makom kasha. So still, Rava's question is a good question. Amarava, Ema, he answers his own question. V'cheinu oseh, choteich shidra mafreket below rav basar, rov basar. Ah. When you do malika, what do? You tear the neck bone, but you don't tear the majority of the flesh there. Because notice, he said you have to do both things. You have to tear the neck bone and then rov basar ima. So you don't tear the rov basar. And in that way, you prevent the animal from dying from the break of the bone. So you break the bone, you tear the simanim, and while you tear the siman, whether it's one or two, you know, again, ideally, by the way, you're supposed to tear both. It's just that you don't have to tear both. And then you tear rov basar ima, and that is, in effect, what does the malika. And the rov basar comes at a later stage, okay? And that's why it's not such a question, and we'll see more about this tomorrow.